We continue our study of the life of Joseph today, and our devotional and background study comes from Genesis chapter 37, verses 13 through 17. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said to him, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class.
All right. Lesson today is, as Terry mentioned, is continuing on with our study on Joseph. Now, if all goes well, I'll be as far off of this subject as I can get. So y'all just hang in there with me. Now, continuing his experiences. As Terry read this morning, Joseph was heading to where his brothers were watching over their flock. And this is talking about his brothers. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Now, they're still holding a grudge for the dreams that he had. And if you remember, I think it was last week that Terry mentioned what this dream was. And to boil it down, it just meant that Joseph had had a dream that he was going to be over his brothers. Now, one issue of this is that and this is maybe one of the reasons why his brothers were having difficulty with it is because traditionally the elder son received the inheritance. And after that, it just kind of all went downhill. And so his brothers may have been thinking that he was breaking with tradition. I really don't know what all they had against him, but they didn't like what he had to say, and they held it against him, and here they are. They're still holding it against him because they used this slur at him, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" Now, the names here might be recognizable to most of us because they are the foundation of the 12 tribes of Israel. So you might recognize these names as being the same tribal territory as what Israel was, or Canaan land, the promised land, was divided up into. They were divided up amongst Jacob's sons. Now, Jacob had created this situation, or kind of created this situation, that drew out the hatred from Joseph's brother. And I don't exactly know why Jacob did this, because he was raised up in almost the same situation. Because his father, who was Isaac, favored Esau, if you remember the story. And Rebekah favored Jacob. So he grew up with all this jealousy and the troubles that ensued. And here he is bestowing the same thing upon, at that time, his youngest son, which was Jacob. I mean, which was Joseph. But as I was reading all of this and kind of studying it, I thought, well, I couldn't get this out of my mind. What was God's will in all of this? What is going on here? And what is the will of God? And that's kind of what my subject is on today, the will of God. What was his will? Was God's will actually to throw Joseph in that pit? If his brothers had listened to his story or his dream and had taken hold of it and asked God what it meant, this story might be completely different. You see, I don't think if the brothers had approached God with whatever issue that they might have had, God would have looked down upon those brothers and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to throw, well, first of all, I want you to slay him. I mean, that was what they first wanted to do. I don't think God would have said that. And I don't think God would have said, well, okay, instead of slaying him, y'all just throw him in that pit and just leave him there. You see, it happened, but I don't believe that's what God's will was. It happened because somebody didn't follow God's will. That's why it happened. And we find in the 12th chapter of Romans, this is Paul speaking. 12th chapter of Romans and the first and second verse, and it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what Paul is telling them here is, paraphrasing this, is you need to get on your knees, you need to be on your knees, and you need to find out what God's will is. Before you do anything, you need to know what God's will is. In God's infinite knowledge, he created man with a free choice. Now, I think one of the reasons he did that was because only through the free choice that we have can we truly love God? And God loved Adam. He loved Adam. And had he forced Adam to love him, then what kind of love is that? But he gave Adam the free choice to do whatever he wanted to. And so then, if Adam loved God, it was out of Adam's choice that he loved God, and the love was pure. And so, he gave Adam that part of humanity that we share today. We all have a choice. Now, you see, I don't think it was God's will that they threw Joseph in that pit. I believe that had God's will been done, we would be reading a completely different story here. Not that it's going to change, because I think part of his will was that the children of Jacob would be the founders of the 12 tribes of Israel, but they could have taken a much better road toward that distance had they followed God's will. But they chose not to. And so consequently, Joseph was sold as a slave down into Egypt. Then what happened? Israel had a huge drought and they couldn't even feed themselves. So they had to go down I'm getting ahead of the story now, but you know what happened. He went down. The brothers went down to Egypt and eventually they found out who each other was, but it didn't have to occur that way. It didn't have to happen that way. We could have very easily have read a story about Jacob's family loving one another and prospering, and him dividing up Canaan and making them all head of the 12 tribes. It could have been a much different story. The same way with Adam and Eve. Now, this was God's will. He wanted to create man. And he did. He created Adam. Now, Adam had it pretty easy. Let's face it. Adam had it pretty easy. All he had to do was take care of this garden. This garden had everything he wanted in it. He had to take care of the animals. He had to take care of the garden. He was sinless. He would have lived forever. There would have never been need for sin to be in this world if God's will had been done. It was not God's will that sin come into this world. Now, God knew that sin was coming into this world, but that's because he's God. But it wasn't God's will that sin come into this world. Now, God knew that it was coming, like I said. But we don't believe in predestination. We don't believe that God, like many people do, many people believe in predestination. They believe that there is a certain amount of people that are going to be saved. And if you're not in that group, then there's no hope for you at all. They believe that God knows who all is going to be saved. Well, I do too. I believe that God knows all who is going to be saved, but I don't believe he picked me out and said, I'm going to be saved, and Jimmy sitting over there doesn't have a chance. I don't believe that in this world, because Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know who whosoever is? That's everybody. He did not say a passel of you folks are going to be saved. He didn't say that. So we don't believe in predestination. God knew that there's going to be sin in the world because he's God. That's how he knew. Now, let's move along here. Adam was going along. Everything was just fine. And if Adam had stayed on that course, if he had done God's will, I don't know what the history of this world would have been, but we wouldn't be here. If he had done what God wanted him to do, it would still be, this time, Adam and God. Because if Adam had done everything God wanted, that's the way it would have been. But he didn't. Why didn't he? Because he had a choice. He said, you know, I'm lonely. You know, we all complain. Well, Adam started to complain. So God said, all right, I'm going to make you a helpmate. So he made Eve. Now, let's take Eve. Move on down the line a little bit. Eve hooked up with Satan. And Satan said, here, eat this. Now, Eve knew what the will of God was. Eve didn't have to get down on her knees and ask God. You know, Paul says you need to be praying and asking what God's will is. Well, Eve didn't have to. She already knew what God's will was. God had told them they could have this whole garden here, but of the tree of the knowledge, they couldn't eat. So Satan says, well, that's not true. Because God has said you'll die. Satan said, that's not true. Well, that's partly true, but it's mostly a lie. And he said, eat this. Eve had a choice. She had a choice that she could have chose not to eat that because she knew what the will of God was. But through her own free will, she ate whatever this fruit was. And Adam, through his own free will, he said, okay, I'll eat it too. And sin came into the world. Now, was that God's will? No, it was not God's will. If Adam had got down on his knees or had searched out God and said, God, do you want Eve to eat that fruit? I don't think God said, yeah, I want her to eat it because I want sin to come into this world. I don't think he would have said that. I don't think he would have done that. She of her own free will and Adam of his own free will, Adam especially, brought sin into this world. So you see, it's not how you look at the story of Joseph and say, well, this was as God wanted it to be. Well, it's not necessarily what God wanted it to be. It's how it turned out. And we can go all through the Bible and find all different manners of things where it didn't turn out as well as it did. Take Solomon. Let's just pick out a few here. Take Solomon, for instance. He built the temple. And he asked for wisdom. And all of this was in accordance with God's will. But do you think it was in God's will that Solomon took hundreds of concubines? No. He chose to do that. He chose to disobey God. And because of his disobedience, because of it, Israel became a divided country and had turmoil after turmoil, and finally they were defeated and carried off into captivity by the Babylonians, and then the Persians got involved, and things just occurred that wasn't the will of God was that Solomon rule Israel and rule it with wisdom and knowledge and fairness, and that Israel might humble themselves to God and that they might seek after his ways. But Solomon didn't. And I don't think God told him that that's the way he wanted him to go. Jonah. Jonah was called to carry a message to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? He went the opposite direction. God said, I want you to do this. Now, was it God's will that Jonah ran that way? No, it wasn't. He wanted him to go to Nineveh and carry this message. And if Jonah said, all right, just point me in the direction of Nineveh and I'll head that way, we'd be reading a different story. But when God told Jonah to go carry this message to Nineveh, Jonah went that way. He just hightailed it. Well, God took over the situation and said, well, this ain't going to work. And he created this fish, and y'all know the story that happened there. Moses was the perfect man of God. He did what God wanted him to do. God said, Moses, I want you to go down there and get them, my children out of that place. And Moses said, well, he grumbled a little bit. Y'all know he grumbled. He claimed he couldn't talk and this, that, and the other. They put up some excuses, but he went. And he did what God wanted him to do. Now, God had promised them a country. I'm going to take you to a country and put you in a land of milk and honey. It didn't have to take 40 years for them to get there. It didn't. It wasn't God's will that it was going to take 40 years. God's will was for Moses to go down there and get the Israelites and get them over into Canaan. That was God's will. Now, what happened? The people grumbled. They disputed with one another. They did all manner of stuff. They built golden. They did, you name it, they did it. And even Moses, at the kind of toward the end, he went against God's will. God told him to speak to that rock, and he took a stick and just wore the fool out of it. And God wasn't pleased with that. But it did not have to take 40 years for them people to get to Canaan. They could have just come out of Egypt, and in a straight line, they could have headed for the promised land. And they would have been there in however months it would have taken to move a million plus people across Saudi Arabia. And we'd be reading a different story, wouldn't we? We might be reading about how humble these people were before God and all the good that they accomplished. But instead we read about how sinful they were. And I know that's a good story, a lesson for us to learn. I understand that. But it could have been just as good a story to learn how humble those people were and how they went from a straight line right across Saudi Arabia into Canaan land. It had been a fine story, if you ask me, that these people were doing God's will. In 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Well, even though that's my favorite verse, I better read it. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, why did he tell them that? Why did he have to tell them that? Because he knew that there's a chance they weren't going to do his will. There's this chance that you and I, okay, we had a choice this morning, didn't we? We all had a choice. We were laying there in bed. And when we woke up, we could have looked over at the clock and say, oh man, I just don't have time to get up and get ready and eat breakfast and go to Sunday school. And by the time I get through reading the paper and doing whatever else I got to do, I'm not even going to make it for church. We all had that choice this morning. God knew we have this choice. He knows we have this choice. And you today that made the choice to come to church, let me tell you, you're doing God's will, because I do not think if you had sat up in bed this morning and said, God, what do you want me to do this morning? He would have said, just lay right there and go fix you some coffee, eat your breakfast, read the Sunday paper, and, you know, this afternoon, go fishing. I don't think God would have told you that. Just don't believe it. God's will this morning was for you people, his people, to come to church. That was his will. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's God's will, and we need to search out his will. And the brothers of Joseph didn't search out God's will. They didn't even think about it. All they wanted to do was get rid of this problem that they had really brought on themselves. They just wanted to get out of the... They wanted him gone. They didn't want to have any part of it. Now, from that time on, their lives wasn't exactly the best lies that you could ever see. Judah, now he kind of rose in the ranks during this time, and Judah was the fourth oldest, and you know who he was. God told him that through his tribe, through his seed, I'm paraphrasing again, would come the Messiah. Judah was known as the Lion of the tribe, and so was Jesus. That's what they refer to Jesus as, the Lion of Judah. So he did all right. But Reuben, who was the oldest and was going to get, or should have got, traditionally, why, should have got the biggest cut. Well, you know what he did. He went and laid with one of Jacob's concubines. And Jacob knew about it. And he said, many years later, he said, you did this, and this is what's going to happen. You'll never fare well. And whatever it is that you have to do, you'll never do good. I'm really getting off the subject now. But I just want to point out that things that we read about in the scriptures that we say help us today doesn't necessarily have to have happened the way they happened. They could have happened a completely different way, and this Bible could have been completely different. But people fail miserably and doing God's will, and God was all the time having to adjust to the whimsical will of man. Now, when I read about God healing our land, if we just call upon His face. Now, what does that mean? That means approaching God and asking Him, searching Him out, finding Him and asking Him, well, what is it that you want me to do? Just give me something to do, and I'll do it. But listen to what He said further on. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before ye, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? Why? Well, you know, the people failed to do what God wanted them to do. Now, here again, I think God knew this. Because if it wasn't going to happen like this, He wouldn't have told them what the consequences of their actions were going to be. But He went ahead and told them what the consequences were going to be. And do you know what these people did? They went ahead anyway. They used their own free choice and went ahead and deserted God. And God brought them into captivity. Just like He said. Why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? What house? He's talking about the temple. What happened to the temple? Well, the Babylonians tore it down. They destroyed it. They took all that stuff, that all the silver and gold and the candelabras and, you know, the beauty of the temple. They packed it up and they took it back to Iraq. And God had warned them. He had said, this is what's going to happen if you fail to do what I want you to do. Joseph's brothers failed to do what God wanted them to do. God wanted Joseph to be over this people. And He wanted Joseph to lead these people, but they would have none of it. Because why? They didn't want to know what God's will was. That's the furthest thing from their mind. They did not want to know what God's will was. Now, you see, that brings to mind there's two types of people. There's people that can know what God's will is, and here you've got a choice. You can either do it or not do it. Or there's people that don't even seek out God's will and not do it because they haven't asked what it is. Now, I'm trying to hurry along right here. Let me show you about somebody who knew what God's will was. And I'll mention his name, and everybody knows him. And I don't mean this, but bless his heart, I loved him with all my heart. Brother Massey knew he was called to preach. He knew it. And he refused to do anything about it. And he run for God for several years. And God told him when his first son Randall was born, or before Randall was born, if you don't carry my gospel, I'll take that child. Now that's serious. If you don't preach my gospel, I'll take that child. You see, Brother Massey knew what the will of God was. He knew that God wanted him to preach. He knew that. Yet he didn't do it. Now God had come to the point and said, you're either going to do it or I'm taking this child. And Brother Massey, thank goodness, gave in. And I became great friends with him and loved him and loved his service to God because he sought out his face and he finally gave in to his will. Now, was it God's will to take this route that Brother Massey took? I don't think so. You see, it was Brother Massey's choice that he took this route. God's will was that Brother Massey was to preach. That was God's will. And if Brother Massey said, I'm on it, the story would have been different. You see, we have a responsibility to do God's will because we don't know what's out there in the future. We don't know how many people we could affect by just doing God's will. The story might turn out far different from us not doing God's will. And we have it within our power today to tell whichever story that we want to tell. The one that we're following God's will or the one that we're forsaking God. It's up to us. He gave us free choice. He gave that to us. And this morning, we're here. I pray that we're here because we chose to be here. And if we chose to be here, we're doing God's will. And if we're doing God's will, great things can happen amongst God's people. That's my lesson. Anyone have anything to say?
This also shows you that the Lord can do what he wants done, what the people will do.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Hey. He created this world and do just anything he wants to. No problem to him. It ain't a bit of problem. You see, I don't think it was his will that they throw Joseph in that pit. But God saw fit to take him out of there and put him down in Egypt. And it all worked out. But I'm telling you, it could have worked out in a different way. It could have been a better story if everybody had just done God's will. We can leave a heritage to our children if we'll just do God's will. And I think that's our purpose here, is to do God, to love God and to do his will. And why I fight it so much, I don't have a clue, because he's done so much for me. Time and time again, he has done so much for me. And yet, when he lays something on my heart to get up and say or do, almost the first thing that comes to my mind is, it's not the right time. I don't know if I'm going to. Thank God he's long-suffering. Because if he wasn't long-suffering, he would have rid me of this place a long time ago. Anyone have anything to say? Sonny, would you dismiss us, please?